doubt that you will.
Cardenas had plenty of doubt, but she accepted Aichi's compliment with a mechanical smile. Scanning through the display screen's list, Cardenas saw that the hatch was made of an alloy of titanium mixed with aluminum, vanadium, and several smaller components. Most of it obtained from the lunar regolith, she knew, scraped up from the topmost layer of dusty ground, and refined in smelters at Selene.
Was there any residue in the pinhole? She asked.
Residue? Zacharias asked, his round face puckering into a mild frown. Cardenas told them, the disassemblers took apart the molecules of the hatch's alloy. They must have been programmed to look for a specific type of atom and remove it from the molecular structure.
Ah, breathed Aichi.
Zacharias nodded.
So what happened to the atoms they removed? Cardenas went on. They must have been deposited inside the hole that the nanos drilled.
Aichi almost smiled.
So we should examine the hole and determine what kind of atoms are contained in the residue.
Do you have equipment that can accomplish that? Cardenas asked, feeling eager for the first time.
The mass spectrograph, maybe, Zacharias suggested.
Can you do it?
We can try, Aichi said.
And for the first time, he looked eager, too. Grant stepped from the airlock and plodded toward the nearest of the hoppers. Josie's voice sounded in his helmet earphones.
Grant, why don't you take the lobber? I can call the two guys who flew it in here, and they could fly it to Corolla for you.
She's trying to make up for letting Halleck sneak out of here, Grant thought. Aloud, he replied, No, Josie, this is our problem, not theirs. Besides, if Oberman has any sense, he'll plant his hopper square in the middle of the concrete slab out at Korolev. That'll prevent a lobber from landing there. Lobbers need a pad to sit down on. They can't land on unprepared ground the way hoppers can.
Oh, said Josie, disappointed.
Yeah.
You just keep an eye on Korolev, kid. Let me know when they land there.
Right.
Grant thought, keep Josie busy. Let her use the surveillance satellites to keep track of Nate's hopper. As he started to clamber up the ladder to the hopper's platform, Grant realized that he hadn't told Ulrich what he was doing, what was going on. The ulcer would pop a blood vessel, he thought. Be better to tell McClintock. Let him tell the ulcer. So, once he checked out the hopper's systems, taking special care to check the propellant supply, he asked Josie to patch him through the communications satellite system to McClintock.
You don't need the commsats, Josie said. Your suit radio can...
I'm going to be over the horizon in 2 minutes, Joe, Grant reminded her. Plug me through the commsats. No answer for a heartbeat or two. Then Josie asked, her voice low,
Grant, you're not going to tell him that I let Mrs. Halleck get away, are you?
That's what you did, isn't it? Grant thought. But he said to her, No, Josie, he won't even think about that. I just want to tell him that Halleck flew the coop and I'm going after her. And Trudy, he added silently. I'm going out to bring Trudy back here. I don't care if Halleck and Nate break their necks out there. I'm going to find Trudy.
It's a minuscule sample, said Toshio Aichi.
Zacharias nodded vigorously.
I bet there's not more than a couple milligrams there.
Will it be enough? Cardenas wondered.
I believe so,
Aichi replied as he tapped the almost invisible sampling of dust from the filter paper in his hand into the focal point of the mass spectrometer. Cardenas watched as Zacharias flicked on the spectrometer and the sample in its focus flashed into gas.
Got it,
Aichi said, pumping a fist in the air. The bright lines of an emission spectrum showed on the spectrometer's display screen.
What did we get? Cardenas asked.
Hold one, said Zacharias, his chubby fingers working the keyboard.
Yeah, there it is.
A comparison spectrum appeared alongside the spectrum of the sample.
Mostly titanium, Zacharias murmured, studying the spectra. A little aluminum, and some vanadium, and minor constituents, said Aichi.
Zacharias looked disappointed.
That's the composition of the titanium alloy that the airlock's made of.
It doesn't tell us much, Aichi admitted.
The disassemblers wouldn't be designed to attack all those elements, Cardenas mused, as much to herself as the two men. They go after specific atoms, one particular element.
But which one? Zacharias wondered.
Unless we know that, said Aichi, we have no way of protecting the alloy against the nanos.
The nanos we create at Cellini are deactivated by high-energy ultraviolet light, Cardenas said.
That probably isn't the case here, Aichi countered. If these devices were produced by a rogue laboratory on Earth, they won't have the same safeguards built into them that you would provide.
They should have a finite lifetime, though.
Shaking his head, Aichi countered, only if they were designed so. That does not appear to be the case here. They have been active for several weeks.
And it looks like they're spreading, Zacharias added.
How do we stop them? Aichi asked again.
Cardenas looked into his solemn dark eyes, wondering, when the answer came to her.
Elbow grease, she said, breaking into a grin.
Oil and a lot of elbow grease.
Korolev Crater.
Starting descent, Oberman said.
Trudy saw that the hopper was falling toward the hard, hard ground. Abruptly, a feeling of weight buckled her knees. Then it disappeared as suddenly as it came, and she was weightless again. In the soundless vacuum, she heard nothing, but she knew that the hopper's braking rockets had fired. Another jolt, longer this time. Then back to falling like a rock.
You do know what you're doing, Alex said, her voice sounding strained in Trudy's helmet speakers. It's all automatic, Oberman replied. Pre-programmed.
But he sounded uptight too, Trudy thought. The ground was coming up faster than ever. Trudy could see the smooth concrete slab that would one day be the foundation for the 100-meter telescope, and the little hump of dirt that marked the buried shelter. Weight returned, and stayed. Trudy gripped the handrail and saw the flare of the rocket engine's exhaust outlining the edge of the hopper's platform. Then a final jar, and she felt the gentle gravity of the moon once more. She swallowed burning bile.
We're down, Oberman said.
Thank goodness for small mercies, said Halleck.
Trudy saw that Oberman had landed them about 50 meters from the shelter's airlock. The concrete foundation slab sat another 50 or so meters beyond that.
Very well, Halleck said. Let's get into the shelter and out of these damnable suits.
Right, said Oberman. Turning to Trudy, he pointed to the ladder leading down to the ground.
Ladies first.
The three of them trudged to the shelter's airlock hatch. Oberman leaned a finger on the green pad of its control panel, and the hatch slid silently open.
Only big enough for two, he said after a glance inside the airlock. Dr. Yost and I will go then, said Halleck.
Nope, Oberman said. You and me, Mrs. H. Trudy can wait out here.
Sudden fear surged through Trudy, close to panic.
Stand outside here and wait for them, she thought. What if they don't reopen the airlock? What if something goes wrong?
Halleck was saying.
Very well, then. You and me, Mr. Oberman. Then Dr. Yost.
Right, said Oberman, gesturing Halleck into the airlock with a gloved hand. Then he turned back to Trudy and said,
Don't go wandering off, kid.
She couldn't see his face inside the helmet, but she could hear the smirk in his voice.
They've gone to Korolev?
Sheer disbelief filled Professor Ulrich's voice.
That's what Grant Simpson told me, said McClintock.
The professor's face looked ash gray as he sat behind his desk.
But why would they do this? He asked. How?
They stole a hopper and took off, the three of them. Mrs. Halleck, Dr. Yost, and one of the technicians, Oberman. I suppose he's flying the hopper.
But why? Why?
Simpson believes that Mrs. Halleck is the one who brought the nanomachines here, and she wants to get away to safety. Cellini won't take any flights from Farside, so she's gone to the shelter at Korolev. In a ghostly whisper, Ulrich said,
And she's leaving us to die here.
That's what Simpson thinks. He's taken a hopper to go after them.
Or to save himself, Ulrich muttered.
McClintock said nothing. The professor sagged back in his chair.
We are going to die. We are all going to die.
Don't be so pessimistic, Professor, said McClintock. I'm sure Dr. Cardenas will figure this out. Despite his words, though, McClintock saw death approaching him. Grant knew he was breaking just about all of Farside's safety regulations as he flew alone across the moon's starkly beautiful land. Solo excursions are not allowed. A minimum of 2 people at all times. The buddy system.
Yeah, but we don't have time to follow the rules.
Why did Halleck take Trudy with her? As a hostage? What are they